I'm Madeline Walter.
And I'm Ben Axelrad, and we're both hypochondriacs.
I think I'm sick when I'm not.
Anytime I'm sick, I think I'm a goner for sure.
Welcome to Definitely Dying, the podcast about health concerns, both real and imagined.
Because it's better to laugh about it together than cry about it alone.
I have a runny nose and an ingrown hair, and
my knee hurts.
My armpit kind of hurts.
Is that a rash?
But I had Asian food, and that makes me
What's
feel kind of sick. I might be lactose intolerant.
Guys, we are so excited for this episode today. We have a great guest, a fun game. But before that, Ben, you're not doing well today.
No.
You're bad.
I'm bad.
Yeah.
I'm real bad.
Tell us what's going on with you. And I'm not laughing at your ailment. I'm just I'm really not.
I don't know yet what's going on with me, but. It's become a trend. I had a birthday last week, and the day before my birthday, something like massively debilitating happens. Like a couple of years ago was the now famous story of my dysphagia.
Yeah,
that was a birthday treat. I evacuated my home on the 9th, went and stayed at a hotel through the 10th, came back, packed up my things, and just moved out of the apartment altogether. That was
happy
how I
birthday.
Yeah, exactly.
What everybody loves is to get sick and to move.
That's right.
So you got to do both on your birthday.
Happy birthday to me.
Ooh, beautiful.
Thank you. So that was 2 years ago. Last year, Madeline was there as well. We have a mutual friend whose birthday is the day before mine, and she had a kickball themed birthday party.
It was really fun.
I remember the first half of it being fun. And I played the kickball. I did not do a proper stretching procedural, and so I ended up getting a grade 2 groin pull.
Ugh. A groin pull that lasted you. That was a gift that kept on giving, wasn't it?
And that's not like when you just feel a little pinch. That's like a 4 to 6 week injury.
Ugh.
It feels similar to like if you've ever ripped chicken off the bone.
Ah!
That's what it feels like in your groinal area.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, no thank you.
Yeah, no, it was the most terrifying instant of pain that I've ever had. Like things have gone on longer and maybe caused me more anxiety. But just in terms of like, I had thought something ruptured. I was like, I'm headed straight for the hospital.
Yeah.
And so then this year comes around and this same friend, our friend Dana, shout out to Dana. Mm-hmm. Very good person. Our good friend.
Dana, you're the best.
You're the best. But she had a roller skating themed party this year. And so the day of the party comes around and people ask if I'm going to the party. And I say, absolutely not. I'm not going to this party. I mean, I love you, Dana, but I just can't risk it. 2 years in a row, this terrible thing has happened to me. So I stayed home.
So you're not going
to
go roller skating.
Exactly.
The classic cause of adult injury.
Exactly. I'm not going to take my late 30s body onto a roller rink.
No.
And so I stayed home. I kept it chill. I was relaxing on 100. I think that might be an expression. And the kids are saying relaxing on 100.
I don't think kid ever says relax.
Kids, are you relaxing?
Yeah.
Kids, are you having a good time relaxing?
I just want to relax.
Yeah, kids, are you stressed out? You got to relax. And if you're going to relax, take it to 100. So I'm chilling out. I go to bed nice and early on the 8th, I get up on the 9th, and I can't sit up. I can physically get my body up into an upright position, but it sends like such a shooting pain down my arm that then culminates in numbness in my fingers that I don't consistently stand or sit at that point. I just had to go back and lay down in bed and hope that it would pass, and it didn't pass, and it continues to not pass. And at first, I was pretty sure that it was a pinched nerve in my shoulder.
Yeah.
And I think that probably was the origin of the not being able to sit up thing. But like since it's progressed, it's like turned into like it's like the like farcical, like a farcical series of injuries, like the kind that you would mention in your crappy improv show. Not even your good improv show, just in your crappy improv show. Like I think I have tennis elbow. Like no one gets tennis elbow. But I'm pretty sure I have tennis elbow, and that I learned from this experience that tennis elbow is a legit thing. but I assumed that I wouldn't have it as a non-tennis player.
Yeah.
But no, I'm pretty sure I have tennis elbow. I'm pretty sure that it's developed into carpal tunnel syndrome.
Oh, my gosh.
So this
my arm is hurting listening to you. Like, truly, like, my wrist hurts. And my shoulder hurts. And I think it's just... in like sympathy, it's like a sympathy illness.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised at all, and it's a sign that you're not a sociopath that you're feeling this way. So shout out to Madeline for not being a sociopath. It just progressively, and as you get older in life, kids. You can't relax on 100 into your late 30s. Sometimes you have to be proactive about the pain that you're experiencing. I didn't do that, and so my recommendation to all of you out there. In this, I'd like to take this intro to make a recommendation and a heartfelt one at that. To everyone out there who's suffering, do something about it. Don't just wait. It doesn't always go away.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean that you're a hypochondriac to take matters into your own hands. You set up a doctor's appointment. If you want to go online, because as we learned from our personal physician, Dr. Laura, there's a lot to be gained from WebMD. You want to go online and look things up, but most importantly, don't just assume these things are going to go away, because much like credit card debt, it's always going to come back to haunt you.
Oh, yeah. You should see Ben. He's had to stand up multiple times while recording just to stretch his elbow. He's been icing his arm repeatedly with a can of Sprite.
Yeah, with a can of Sprite.
It's not really ice, but it's cold, I guess.
It's the coldest thing we got here at UCB.
It's really sad. I had an arm, like I had what sounds at least a similar feeling to what you're describing. Yeah. I don't think it was the same thing. But like at a wedding, I went to a wedding like a couple years ago, and like all of a sudden out of nowhere, my whole shoulder and arm started hurting. And like so much that I like couldn't dance.
Yeah.
Like because I dance, you know, I mean, I'm not a good dancer. So my dancing is all like in my arms. I'm all, I just wave my arms around and pretend that I know that I look silly.
That's how I danced too.
And I couldn't do that at all. And it like was like a random 24-hour like shooting pain down my arm, and then it went away, and I never knew what it was.
So it was over.
But yeah, it kind of went. I also like got a really bad cold, so I think I just got distracted by another illness, and then sort of forgot about it, and then it went away.
Isn't that a crazy thing? The way that you kind of can't experience two ailments at once—it's
really
weird. I remember when I had after your wedding, I had a little torn meniscus, and I suffered with it and suffered with it, and then something else came up. I don't even remember what it was, but just something that distracted me from that knee for just long enough to make me believe that I was healed.
Yeah.
And then as soon as that other thing, which was much more temporary, went away. Back to the knee pain.
I mean, it's exactly the same as anxiety, I feel like. My favorite tool for if I'm, feeling, really, anxious or worried about something is I'll just say, imagine you hit a kid with your car.
Oh, Jesus.
And then, in comparison, if I imagine a life where I hit a kid with my car, then, anything I feel worried about or feel like I didn't do well or feel guilty about, I'm like, oh, my God.
It makes you less horny.
I would be yearning for that.
Oh, we went a different direction with this.
I have nothing to say to that. let's welcome our guest. Guys, we have a really great guest today. His name is Dave Tooney. I have known him since nearly the very moment I moved to LA. We were in the same 101 class at UCB. Now you can see him weekly with his improv team, Bangarang. He's on a sketch team called Bonafide with me. He also is the star of an amazing GMC commercial running right now. You can talk, Dave.
With co-star with Madeline.
Yeah, I didn't want to bring it up because, you know, this isn't about me and my enormous successes, but we are in about a 40-second internet commercial for GMC together right now.
Just got some residuals for it
this
past
week.
Me too.
Me too. I was thrilled.
We both were in separate Gettington.com non-union commercials years ago.
Yep. I played a lady who wanted her husband to blow the leaves. And Dave, you played a dad?
I played a dad.
You were carrying a couch or something?
I think I was carrying something. Let me tell you this. When the camera was not on me, I killed it. But when that when we turned the camera around to be put on me, I did not kill it.
Well, I'll tell you a little a fun behind the scenes fact. If you watch my my Gettington.com commercial, you can see if my shirt looks very strange and like it's clipped in the back in the middle of my body. That's because my shirt was clipped in the back in the middle of my body for who knows why. It was if you worked wardrobe on that shoot, you can get at me. I'm sorry if it seems like I'm insulting you. I'm not, but it was a strange choice.
And Ben and I are connected.
That's right.
By his Major League Baseball account.
That's right. That's right. I'm cheating Major League Baseball out of approximately $15 per person. And Dave is one of my co-conspirators.
I watch any Major League Baseball game.
Me too. I used to only watch baseball because of how little anyone else wanted to watch baseball. Like, as a guy who didn't want to go out to the bars and drink that much, like, people would say, oh, hey, you want to come out and hang out? And I'd say, nah, I don't really feel like it. And then they would say, oh, come on, don't be a pussy. So instead of saying I didn't want to drink, what I would say is, like, no, if you want to come over and watch the baseball game, and then, you know, their voices would get kind of high and be like, oh, no. It's okay. Like, I'll just catch up with you later. And then I'm free of being called a pussy, which is like always, you know, I mean, we grew up in an era when that like still affected a man, you know?
I think that's the funnest thing to call someone. I like, pussy. I know it's not like, I couldn't feel like that if I was like a dad-aged dad. Because I think it like, it's fun because I feel like people are like, she doesn't look rude. Yeah. And then I'm like, you're wrong. I'm rude. You're a pussy.
Who was the last person you called a pussy in that way?
I've never called anybody a pussy. Dave, so we like to start every interview with kind of a light question to keep things fun, the same question. So let me ask you, on a scale of 1 to 10, how much would you say that you fear death?
I don't know, a 2?
Wow.
You're not afraid.
A 3? I don't think so. I don't think about dying very much.
Yeah.
Interesting.
When is there anything that makes you think, like, when do you think about dying?
I think about dying here when it's like people, I guess probably with people I know.
Yeah.
And the example I'll use is 2 days ago, my mom and dad, I FaceTime with my mom and dad, and we'll FaceTime, not nearly enough, but we'll talk. And I'll talk to them on the phone, whatever.
Yeah.
But it, like, I feel like clockwork. At some point late in the conversation, my dad did this time, will bring up who has died in town recently.
Oh, no.
And they did it 2 days ago. And this is toward that. It felt like it was toward the tail end of the conversation. And after we talked about it, he died, heart attack, whatever. A little quiet for a little bit. And I said, all right, mom and dad, we have to do this at the top of the going forward. This can't be the ender.
No.
We can't do it like that. It's got to be at the beginning. And they're both like, yep. Oh, yep. That's probably a good point. It's like, okay.
Yeah.
I'm like, great. We could totally talk about this. It just has to be at the top.
Right.
Yeah. And then we'll go
so
into
now
like,
they'll be like, hi, Dave. Guess who died?
Great.
Talking to your parents on the phone is kind of like reading the entirety of the newspaper, and you like, and so you absolutely can't close with the obits. You have to close with sports or entertainment, you know, and preferably not entertainment because we're the entertainment, and they have a million bad questions about our careers. You got to close it down with sports. A little Milwaukee Bucks, a little Milwaukee Brewers, a little Green Bay Packers playing 2 games a season in Milwaukee.
Yes.
Maybe there's a hockey team. But yeah, you close it with the obits. Yeah, no, all we're thinking about is death now for the entirety of that week, because it's about a week in between.
And it's not even about my death.
Nope.
Then it's almost, I think more about my family's death.
Yeah.
And then that's what looms larger in my mind than my own death. My own death doesn't come up that often in my mind.
No, I would always like, I feel like I'm, like if I imagine hypothetical situations of like, if I had to choose between like if I died or like basically anybody else, I would always choose me. But it's pretty selfish because I feel like it just is such a bummer when anybody else dies.
That's not selfish.
I would always rather
choose you. I also choose you.
No, I choose you. But you just want, you just choose you because you don't want to go through the process of feeling bad that the other person has died.
Yeah.
Right? I feel like it's selfish too. Like, I'll die.
Yeah.
And that way I don't have to cry. Right. Later.
Yeah. I would be like, please, 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 just let me die. Yeah. That's
please,
that's,
mom, dad, watch your daughter die. I would rather me die than you. Mm-hmm. Bury your child. Yeah. That'll be easier.
Unrelated to any other person, I go to bed each night saying, please, please, please let me die. Like, you guys are fine. I'm not worried about you guys. Just this day was hard. Tomorrow's not going to be better. Please, please, please let me die.
I feel like even like, I don't know, like Ben, like my husband Ben really likes to like play this like hypothetical situation game, you know, where I feel like he'll be like, if it was you or like a war criminal, I feel like even then I would always be like, oh, I would die. Cause it's like, you don't know.
You have to make that choice. Like, oh, I knew that it was me or him and I chose him. Then wouldn't you feel partially responsible for this other person dying?
Yeah.
Sounds like a nightmare.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I guess we're always kind of partially responsible for many deaths just because of like the industries that we reap the benefits of. I mean, like our iPhones, we're responsible for at least like one or two people dying in a factory in China. Let's just be honest.
Whoa.
I mean, like, I didn't mean that to be funny. It's a thought that bums me out every day. But like,
oh, trust me, not funny what you said.
I mean, it's like kind of, but like, I think about that, how like we're tacitly allowing people to die just by living the lives that we live. Right. This is not fun.
Wow. No, I feel the same way. Like,
great. I'm glad I planted a truly destructive seed in your brain. Oh, no.
Like, the three of us are silent partners at Monsanto, so, like, we're responsible for a lot of death, but it's not like we chime in and say, like, you know, wreak havoc. We just, you know, we make a little on the side. What are you going to do? You got to make a little on the side.
You got to make a little of that Monsanto money.
Dave, would you say as you progress in life that you become somebody who enjoys a healthy lifestyle?
Yes. As I've gotten older, I feel like I've changed habits as far as like eating, sleeping, exercise. But probably that's probably just to combat the deterioration that comes along with aging, and probably to stave off death. Probably, even though I'm not actively thinking about it, it's probably definitely something that I'm doing, and with my choices
but
that I make.
That's probably a healthy way to approach it. Is that rather than wait until it causes you anxiety, you do something in the proactive sense. So, like, what are some of the things that you what are some of your favorite ways to stay young at heart?
Okay, so here's the things that I'm doing now. I'll give you the. Give you four things.
Great.
One is, the more I read about sleep, the more important I realize that it is. Like, it is like one of the single biggest things you can do for your body is just like 7 to 9 hours of sleep a night.
Mm-hmm.
So, no matter when I go to bed, assuming it works out schedule wise, no matter when I go to bed, I try to get it 7 hours from when I go to bed.
That's great. Great.
To just so you give your body a chance to regenerate, repair. Three other things that I do is, one is I've started meditating more in the last year.
Yeah, what do you do?
I use I feel like I was getting more and more stressed out.
Yeah.
More and more stressed in my life. And so I was just looking for ways to combat that.
Yeah.
And one of the things that would kind of come up regularly is meditation.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look it up, like, there's lots of benefits and whatnot. And like, some of our friends do it.
Sure.
And I also listen to that Alec Baldwin podcast.
Huh.
And
I don't know that one.
That's the second time someone's brought it up to me this week. I'd never heard it before.
It was on NPR, and he's basically just like interviewing his friends who are usually celebrities.
Yeah.
And one person he interviewed was Seinfeld.
Uh-huh.
And Seinfeld has been meditating for like 20 years.
Really?
It doesn't seem like a person that would do it, but he meditates every day and he can't speak highly enough about it. And I was like, oh man, that should be a thing. So I use these apps. I started with just finding a couple of free apps on my iPhone, and I switched to this thing called Headspace.
Headspace?
Yeah. So if you don't know anything about meditating, I did not.
Yeah.
It's a pricey app.
How much?
$100 a year.
Oh, okay.
That seems, I'm on board for that. Yeah.
Less than $10 a month for peace of mind.
For
something I use every day. It's great. If you've never done it, there's like they have these fun little videos. He walks you through it. There are a lot of guided meditations.
Cool.
There's lots of packs for different things. And then I've started reading more books about meditation to kind of understand why you're doing it. And like Buddhism, which has like this element of meditation. So here's the two other things I've done. I can't remember one of them. Oh, I do yoga more. So over like the last year or so, I've been going to yoga more.
Yeah.
And just because it's like low impact and helps your joints. And I can't touch my toes. I still can't touch my toes. And it probably also I don't go regularly enough. But I just want to get – it's like flexibility, it's strength, it's cardio. It's
also,
like meditation.
Though, like, I mean, like you look really good.
Yeah, you're looking good.
I'm – clothed.
Like I always hate I'm about to explain why I hate this and then I'll do it. Like I hate when people comment on a change in my appearance. Like I feel like if people are like, "Ooh, you lost weight or something," it makes me just go like, "Why are you looking at my body and scrutinizing like my fluctuations in weight?" Like I feel like that might be a thing that like women are sensitive about more.
Yes, that's true.
But, I mean, you looked great before, but I feel like I've seen you several times and said in my mind, like, oh, Dave looks really fit.
Thanks. Yeah. I'm trying to do some of these things outlast my parents. I'm just trying to outlast my parents. I want to win that competition.
That's the equivalent of getting a participation medal. Like a soccer game. Like if your only health goal is outlasting your parents.
My 70-something-year-old parents. Just gotta beat them. The last thing I do, and this is I bring this one up, because this is something I've done in the last 3 weeks. Ooh. And so this could fail next week.
Yeah.
I'm trying to do a 6-day-a-week vegan diet.
Whoa.
Oh, okay, nice.
Yeah. And so it's been about 3 weeks. If little things come up, I'm not going to
fret too much about it. Yeah,
but
yeah.
For 6 days a week, I'm trying to do a vegan diet. And then on the seventh day, anything and everything is on the table.
That's what The Rock does too.
Is that what The Rock does? And he's enormous.
The Rock's enormous.
Hey, look at him. Dwayne Johnson. They're very similar.
It's one thing to tell someone that they look better. It's another thing. Hey, you seem like you're doing a lot of the things The Rock does these days, and it's showing. There's no way that anyone denies that as a compliment.
It almost is insulting when you're like, hey, you're kind of like The Rock. Okay, fuck you. All right, I'm trying to tell you some things I'm doing here. And
you are well on your way to rock them.
So those are the things I'm trying to do.
Yeah. And what was there? Do you remember what made you want to sort of embark on a journey of like better health? Like, was it a moment or was it gradual? Because I feel like you're from the Midwest, right?
Yep. I grew up in a little town called Cedar Grove, lived in Milwaukee for 12 years, and then moved out here.
Now, I'm just venturing a guess that these are probably not routines that maybe like many of your friends and family from back home engage in. Is that true or not true?
I mean, I don't think so. I could be wrong. I'm certainly not speaking for everyone.
Yeah.
But speaking for myself, when I go home, I am drinking a lot of booze and I am eating a lot of delicious, terrible food.
For sure. You have to.
Yes. Well-prepared. Great, and I love it.
Right. Yes.
But my arteries are clogging regularly.
Yes.
1 day vegan, 6 day cheese curds. I'll live that life. I mean, until I stop living it. I'm not going to outlive your parents, but I'm willing to try.
That's like feels like you have a book right there.
See, 6 days cheese curd diet.
Yeah. Yeah.
Whenever I go to Cleveland to visit my family, I'm so happy and I eat the most bread and cheese and then I can't poop until I get back to LA.
But that's a separate from the eating. That's just a choice you're making.
That's just a choice. I can only poop at home.
Madeline has your bathroom.
Madeline has a very specific OCD about pooping in Cleveland.
I won't do it.
Also keeps you from staying there too long. Yeah. Like at some point, like I gotta go back to LA.
You're like, otherwise I would just stay. I truly would. Everybody's so nice. Everything's so much easier.
It's the best.
But I won't let myself poop there, so I gotta come back to old Los Angeles.
So Dave, do you feel like at this point in your life, these aren't just choices that you make for the benefit of your health? You enjoy doing these things. These are
Not
so much. they do feel like they're responsible decisions as opposed to enjoyment based.
I don't know if eating vegan is like, I love this, but I do like what I think are the benefits of meditating yoga. I do like how it makes me feel mentally. So then the cumulative effect of those things makes me enjoy it.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't say like, I'm never like, whoo, can't wait to get to yoga. Or I'm never like, even meditating, like when I'm doing it, I'm like, is this almost over?
Yeah, sure.
How much time is left? But after I'm done, I'm like, oh, I was glad I did that.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, that's great though, because I feel like people sometimes make it seem like you have to love all that, or it's like people are like, I love never eating, or like, I love doing yoga.
Yeah, and like it's Instagram and Facebook and Twitter, Instagram is like making it seem like these people, everyone loves doing
it. Yeah, yeah.
But you have to, I have to pump myself up to do these things before I do them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Which I think is like normal.
I think so.
And honest. Yeah.
I found that I actually do enjoy doing most of them. What I don't like doing is leaving the house. And so if I'm at home and I'm eating healthy, like on the rare occasion that I cook something healthy for myself or I just like, you know, on demand has all of these like little workout things. Like I enjoy the feeling of it. It's getting in the car and driving to the gym and then being around the people that are at my gym or being around the people that are, you know, like if I go to the health food place or whatever, then because I look the way that I do, people feel like I'm begging for tips. And I, you know, like, and not like to ensure proper service tips, like not like, you know, like paying a guy a little 15% on top.
Like
a guy who looks like he's trying not to be fat anymore, which is insulting.
I feel like that, no, like, because I, like...
It is insulting Naturewell.
Yeah, Naturewell, stop it.
Stop
you don't
it.
Know what someone's insides look like.
You don't know why I'm juicing.
I know. At the gym, all the time, people come up to me and are, like, you know, trying to, like, sell their personal training or whatever. They'll be like, hey, like, you know, do you need a trainer? And it's, like, it bums me out because I exercise very deliberately, like, 5 days a week, and that is what I need to do to look like someone who doesn't work out but is reasonably healthy. Like, I feel like the amount of time I spent exercising, I should have like cool arms or something, you know, and I just, but all I look is like not fat like I looked after 2 years of college, like, and I'm like fine with that.
Yeah.
But like I took an acting class recently, and there was this like funny exercise where you have to like stand in front of the class, and like people had to like take a survey about like, you know, how you read, like what type you seem like. And one of the questions was like, does this person work out never, every now and then, or all the time? And everybody was like, I don't know, every now and then. I was like, all the time. You couldn't tell. You really couldn't tell. You look at me, you're like, she looks like she relaxes. And I truly have never felt relaxed for a minute. The last time I felt relaxed was 1 year ago on my honeymoon. I should look so good for how uncomfortable I feel so much of the time.
Listeners, how do you get your cool arms?
Yeah, please hashtag cool arms.
Ben, first, Malin, I hope that if people ever say that to you, you take the same offense as you take like when people like are like, you know, like, oh, you look like you've been working out.
Yeah.
But like, Madeline, cool arms. And you're like, what the hell are you talking about?
Don't tell me I have cool arms. Why are you scrutinizing my arms?
They're just so cool.
And
yes,
Bennett, you staying home, wanting to stay home is, I think, legitimate and I think is very normal.
Mm-hmm.
And that is why, like, just the things that I do, like, get more sleep. Oh, I can do that in my bed.
Yeah. Right?
Meditate. I'll just have a nap. I can do that in my apartment. Yoga. It is just a couple blocks from where I live. And then diet. I have a food delivery service that comes to my apartment.
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah.
I have to do almost, I almost never have to leave.
Yeah.
That's amazing. What is your food? I feel like all I'm doing is asking you for very specific recommendations.
I started with, because I've never, my reason for cooking for a food delivery thing is because I'm 39, and up until a year ago, like, I couldn't make anything. I couldn't make anything at home.
Yeah.
Like oatmeal. That was it. And so I'm like, I got to learn how to cook, but I need help.
Yeah.
So I started getting Blue Apron, which is like a food delivery service. They show you, they give you all the ingredients. They give you like a piece of paper, an 8x11 with color pictures of what to do, how to chop the onions, how to cut the tomatoes, how to cook the meat, and like walk you through each step. And then you've got your own meal. And it's only 3 days. They give you three meals a week for two people, so that's six meals total.
Right, so it's
not like you have to do something every single night. It's like three nights a week, I can do that. And then I recently switched in the last couple months to something called the Purple Carrot, which is like a more of a vegan-based food delivery service. So I'm learning how to cook, kind of. Sure. It's healthier eating, and I don't have to leave my – I don't have to go to the grocery store and like figure things out.
I was finding that I did it like very early on when they were just giving away all these free meals. Which I was I was exactly the sucker that they they always envisioned the guy like me who's lost every password he's ever had, who's gonna forget to do things. I've paid for months. I just kept paying and kept paying. And finally figured out how to stop these meals from coming to me that were delicious. But the problem was that I was getting depressed that there was a second meal that no one was eating. And that was where that was. And then I was like,
that's a thing.
After a very short amount of time, like it was just, I was like chopping these onions and not sure if I was crying for which reason, you know, it does sound sadder. That sounds less sad than I was anticipating. I was definitely crying out of sadness, people. The onions cannot be blamed.
No, this food delivery service puts a spotlight on a certain aspect of your life.
They should have one that's like for if you're by yourself.
Yeah, like blue loser.
No, how about like puss crushing apron?
There you go. Like,
see, I said it because I'm so rude.
You are rude.
I'm a rude girl.
You're one rude.
I said puss.
You're rude dude with some cool arms. No, you're right. There should be one that like because I was watching a show on the Game Show Network that like tries to match up people that are basically like unmatchable. Like I think it's called Baggage or something, and it was like
that's on the Game Show Network.
Yeah. They're all hosted by like strangely high level celebrities that you wouldn't expect. Like,
really?
Yeah, like Rebecca Romaine Stamos and people like not that she's like up there, but you wouldn't expect her to be like
she was an X-Men.
She was an X-Men. There you go. Thank you.
Yeah.
But. But there was this one guy who tried to woo women by telling them that he would cook these like elaborate meals in only combat boots. Like, and it was like, yeah, I mean, I guess like if there was, you know, if there was a,
that's not sanitary.
No, it's just, it was, everything about it.
I had to take home ec in middle school. Mm-hmm. And one of the things we learned was like, you gotta wear clothes.
Yeah, definitely. Okay. Yeah. No, yeah. I knew a guy that used to like cook bacon with his shirt off, and he's got like splatter stains on him.
That's unsanitary and it seems dangerous. Mm-hmm. I tried recently, and I'm not trying to paint a mental picture for you, but I ironed a shirt recently. I just got out of the shower, I had ironed a shirt, so I ironed a shirt with with no clothes on.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was a little worried because of the hot iron.
Yeah.
I burned my leg really badly ironing a shirt on top of – I didn't have an ironing board, and so I was ironing on the futon mattress on the floor that I was sleeping on. And I was, like, kneeling on this futon mattress. And, of course, like, just by moving the iron in the line that it was already going in, I just, like, stabbed my leg with this iron and had – a burn scar for years. Years. And people would go, what happened? And I would just say, well, I burned myself with an iron.
Hey, we're doing great, aren't we? Lonely
so
meals.
Good.
Ironing on futons. Hey, move to LA, everyone. Make your dreams come true.
You guys should come here. Everything's so good. You'll feel weird about your body for your whole life.
Just repeat after me. Please, please, please let me die. So it's written on our license plates.
If I die before I wake, please let that happen. Please let that happen. I pray the Lord my soul to take.
Well, Dave, I always think about, I don't know if you even remember saying this to me, but you told me a really funny anecdote about like, I feel like a couple years ago when you were like starting to get, you were like trying to relax and like trying to like get into healthy routines. Mm-hmm. I remember you just telling me that, like you'd read that it was good to drink a glass of wine every day.
Oh my gosh.
But instead of like stopping and relaxing and trying to drink a glass of wine every day, you were like drinking it like medicine. You were like just like saying like, well, I'll like throw back this glass of wine.
Two things about that.
Yeah.
One, and this has happened since I've been out in LA for a while, because I treated it more like a vitamin and just like a thing I had to do, a chore. I would drink it first thing in the morning, like a glass of orange juice. I'm like, got to get that wine out of the way. And I would just down a glass of wine and then go about my day.
It's good for heart health, though, right? Isn't that the thing?
Yeah, it's supposed to be good for heart health.
Like, according to, like, relax with it.
Yeah, right.
Nope, didn't.
I still think it was, like, recommended in, like, 1960s in-flight magazines. But, like, it's one of those things that, like, you know, you're never going to be able. If they come out with anything that's positive about weed, I will hold on to that fact for my entire life.
We'll never let go. We'll never let go. There's so many other things with antioxidants. But when I first started trying wine, this is back when I lived in Milwaukee. I had roommates and whatever. And I heard about the benefits of drinking wine. And I'm in my mid-20s. But I'm like, I don't ever drink wine. I just drink beer. So I don't know anything about wine.
Yeah.
But all right, I'll do that. So I bought like a jug, like what guys will like make music out of. And I bought a jug of the cheapest wine I could get. And I drank a glass every day. What I didn't know at the time was that wine turns into vinegar after a relatively short amount of time.
Yeah.
So I'm drinking out of this same thing for probably at least 3 weeks. And by then it is way gone bad. Like, it's no longer wine. I'm like, this tastes like garbage. And I'm like, man. But in my mind, I was like, I just don't know. I guess I just don't have a taste for wine, was my thinking. But I bought the cheapest,
rotten garbage,
the worst, lowest grade wine you could get. And I drank it for like 3 weeks out of the same jug.
Oh, that's really so funny.
And luckily, vinegar is kind of good for you.
You were jumping on that like apple cider vinegar train a decade early.
Yep. And then later, I just drink in the morning with my oatmeal.
Dave, you teased us before the interview.
Yeah.
You said that you had a story about shingles, so I got to ask you, tell us the story about shingles.
Okay, so I'll just paint the picture of what had happened up until that point. I'm living in an apartment with my friend Matt Reed at the time, and one night I wake up, and I feel like I have a pain. I should say, maybe I felt this for a couple days. I felt like I had a pain to, I don't want to get too graphic, but like in my groin area.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh man, that's weird. I haven't really like pulled anything or like, it's not like I was working out a ton or anything like that. Like, what? That's weird. And I think it like was up for a couple of days or whatever. And then I woke up in the middle of the night and it was like noticeable, like harder to get back to sleep.
Oh.
And I was like, what the heck? So, like an idiot, I turned to the internet
for an
answer. Yeah, not an idiot. Not an idiot. We're all doing it. It's an amazing source of information.
It would have been idiotic to go out and buy an encyclopedia.
Right, exactly.
So, I got this pain, right? And I wake up in the middle of the night, and I'm like, oh, man. And I look on the internet, and of course, it quickly leads me to cancer. I'm like, oh, boy.
As most things on the internet
As
will.
Most things on the internet do. Right. No doubt. So I looked up an emergency room type place to go to that was in my network or whatever. And I went to one at like 6 in the morning. And
you thought you had such urgent, immediately emerging cancer that you went to the emergency
room. I was like, it's enough to be like kind of a throbbing pain.
Yeah.
I was like,
yeah.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
And, like, I could not get my mind off it, right?
Yeah,
it's not like you're going to sleep through it.
Right. No, I'm not going to sleep through it, right? So I go, and I believe, if I can remember correctly, I feel like they may have taken x-rays, but I don't even know if they did that. But they, like, pushed and pressed and whatever, and, like, they couldn't figure anything out. And, like, just take some Advil for, like, another week and let us know if it's still persisting.
Yeah.
So like, because
I
haven't had
that long.
Did they
say it wasn't cancer, or they
did not think it was cancer, but they also didn't have an answer, and they're like, let's just sit on this for a little longer.
Yeah.
So then, a couple days later, and this is after I auditioned for this co-star role on a TV show called Up All Night.
Oh yeah.
And I booked it. This is my first.
Great.
This is my first co-star that I've ever gotten, and you're gonna work for a week which is, if you're not out here in LA, that's a long, usually it's like a day that you're working on a gig. And this was a week that you were going to be filming. And it turned out to be more of a glorified extra role. But
I've
it was still great.
Times, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Which is still the best. And our friend Luca Jones is on that show. And Eugene Cordero was one of the co-stars on it.
Awesome. Like dream.
It was fun, right? Yeah. For my first like people I know, which was great.
That's so great.
So I'm like, I'm so excited about this. This is my first thing TV-wise like that. So I'm very excited. And let's say this is on a... Let's say this is a Friday that I learned that I booked this. And I'm going to start shooting on Monday.
Oh, my gosh.
Very excited.
Yeah.
I buy a sandwich, and Friday afternoon, I'm very excited. I'm at the apartment. Matt's there on top of the world. I take a bite into my sandwich, and one of my front teeth is a crown, and it cracks. And
no.
I am unfit for camera because now I just have a cracked tooth. And I am like, no, I just booked this thing. I just booked this thing.
And you go for years. I mean, like for also anybody who doesn't live in LA, you go forever without ever needing to look like anything.
Yes.
You never have a job.
Yes. And suddenly it's like. I can't hide this.
Oh.
And I'm losing my mind. I'm like, I am distraught over this situation. But Matt Reed was a calming influence.
Nice.
He is so calm.
And he's like, I'm going to start looking up dentists.
Good.
And I started looking up dentists. And the good thing about LA is if any place is going to have a dentist open on the weekend for cosmetic purposes, it's Los Angeles, right?
Oh, yeah.
You can't get an emergency room doctor, but you
can
get some
cosmetic surgery. No, but you can make your teeth look as pretty as they need to look.
Immediately.
Yeah.
So I got in on Saturday, and I got like a temporary put in that looked fine until the permanent could be put in. And, oh, I felt so much better. I was like, oh, my gosh, I really dodged a bullet there. Thank goodness. I'm so calm and so elated. I feel so great. I can't wait for the shoot on Monday.
Yeah.
Well. I think we're going to say it's Sunday night, maybe Monday morning. I don't remember what it is, but I don't remember the exact time frame. But I'm excited about the shoot.
Yeah.
I take a shower, whatever, and I have got what appears to be some kind of rash on my groin area.
Oh, no.
Like thigh and like waist there. And I'm like, what is happening? And I had no idea what was going on, but it hurt and it was visible, not to anyone else, but it was definitely a rash of some kind. And I was like, oh no. And I thought, like, my mind immediately went to like some sort of STD right away.
And
I'm like, oh my gosh, I can't believe this.
Oh.
And so I am on this shoot and I am relatively miserable.
Yeah.
Because I'm worried about what it is.
Yeah.
I don't know what it's going to be.
Sure.
It's painful.
Oh.
And I have to be at work every day.
Yeah.
And so once again, I am back down in the dumps mentally.
Yeah.
And I am like, I was beside myself.
What a roller coaster.
What a roller coaster, right? Right. And it's like, on one hand, like, I'm talking to Will Arnett and Christina Applegate. But I'm also like, what is happening to my body?
I have an STD rash so bad it spread to my waist.
It's on my hip. I'm trying to catch footballs from Will Arnett. My friend Luca and Eugene are there.
Yeah.
Having a great time. But I am I'm beside myself. So about, I think it was maybe like halfway through the week, I went to my dermatologist, and I went in, and I'm like, he's like, okay, and he's so nice. He's like, okay, what's going on? I was like, here's the deal. I've got this rash on my groin area. All right. It's an STD. It's this. It's that. It's this. So I'm very upset, and I don't know what we need to do about this. I kind of give him the lowdown.
He's
on
like,
what's
why did you come here? Do
right?
You know what's
yes,
going on?
Yes, I kind of give him the diagnosis. Right.
What else do you need? Did you think it was?
I mean, I didn't know if it was like HPV or herpes or what.
Yeah.
Also, it could be a number of them.
Yes.
Sure. Sure.
So I was like,
they often hang out together.
They're pals. So I give him.
HPV's got a posse.
That's right.
Him and his cronies came around, and
if someone could make us a logo for HPV has a posse, that would be wonderful to see.
I would love it.
It'd really be nice to see, listeners. We put in a lot of work. If you just give us a little something back.
So I give him the diagnosis. I do his job for him. Let him know what's what. Give him the rundown. He's like just sitting there looking at me.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. He's like, And he goes, why do you think this? And I go, well, and as it came out of my mouth, I could just feel my intelligence leaving me. I was like, well, I looked on the internet. And then he's like, he just like closed his eyes and nodded. He's like, let's take a look.
Yeah.
I was like, okay. And I think my eyes are welling up a little bit. And I pull my pants down.
You cry, you pull your pants down.
Yeah, that is a norm. That's no, almost any time.
He was chanting, take them off, take them off, take them off.
So I revealed myself. And he's like, okay, you have shingles. And I was like, what does that mean? Because I didn't know what it was or what it meant.
Yeah.
And then he quickly let me know that shingles is, he's like, you had chicken pox as a kid? I was like, yep.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, that virus, which is like a form of like herpes, I believe.
Oh,
really?
I think
but
so.
But they just don't want to say a kid has herpes all over his body.
They call it chicken pox.
Chicken pox, it's so cute.
But I think it is.
They're like, you have baby herpes.
Yeah. I think that's what it is. You could check on that, but I could be wrong, but I think that's what it is. But it goes dormant in your body, but it can come out at any time.
Sure.
Wow. Oh, yeah.
And it came out, and luckily it came out where it did. It wasn't, because it can, here's the thing
about. It can come out on your face, right?
Here's the thing about shingles is, one, it can affect your face, mm-hmm. your legs, your chest, your arms, anything. So luckily it was in a place that was not visible, which is I was so lucky for the shoot, right?
Yeah.
And the second fun thing, if you don't know about shingles, is it only affects one side of your body. So it's going to be on your like right side or left side, but it won't be on both. So it's like, it's a weird like divide. And I don't know how that works, because I feel like your whole body's connected.
Yeah.
Sure.
But it like knows, like, I'm sticking to this side.
Right.
So it just stuck to my left side.
Whoa.
And he gave me some antibiotics and some topical ointment of some kind.
Right.
And so the next 2 days on that shoot, I was like, it still hurt, but I was in heaven. And I was this is the best. And I was able to really enjoy my time, even though it wasn't comfortable. But like,
you were like the happiest guy to have shingles. Right.
I truly was. It was great. And I was so happy. And it was fine.
Dave Tooney, glad to have shingles.
Glad to have shingles. Glad to meet you. Will, Christina, gather around. I have some Natalia. And so it went. So that was really great. But also, like, you know, and on the other end, like, if it was going to be something else, then fine. Then it's something else.
Sure.
And that would have been fine. You would have gotten through that. I would have gotten through that. And all that's fine. And it's like the thing I learned from that, a couple things, is one, I'm like, just if you get it, you get it. Fine. We can deal with it. A lot of people have this stuff, shingles, whatever it is. But the other thing is, like, and this is partially definitely something that helped lead to like meditation and yoga. It was like a thing that can, one thing of many that can cause shingles to come out is like your stress.
Stress, right?
And it's like, it's a thing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever had shingles?
No, but we asked in one of our episodes, we asked a doctor whether or not you could contract a stress-borne ringworm.
Yeah.
we've tackled stress issues, and then finding there are certain things that stress can't cause. But I've definitely had some of the things that it can.
Yeah.
Well, one thing I've started to learn over these last few years, and I probably should have known this a long time ago, is like we worry about, like, you know, you got to make sure you get your vegetables, and you've got to make sure that you're putting sunscreen on, mm-hmm. and all these things are definitely important in your life. But like one thing we got to like remember is like stress is huge. You've got to like be active about maintaining your lowering your stress levels.
And I think that really speaks to what you were saying about sleep as well. Mm-hmm. That like you get a good amount. It's not just there are certain things where like for instance, I will go on what's it, consumerreports.com, mm-hmm. and I will find the thing that they refer to as their best deal. It's not the expensive one. It's the one for relatively cheap that's going to get you the most bang for your buck. Mm-hmm. And there are certain things where you just don't want to do that. I think that beds are one of them. I think that shoes are another. Mm-hmm. That like we do all these things to keep our legs stretched out and stuff. If you wear the right shoes, you don't tend to have the same knee and foot and ankle problems. If you have a good bed, you tend to sleep better and you wake up feeling more refreshed.
Yeah. That's huge.
And one last quick question, kind of circling back to your answer to our first question about how you're not terribly fearful of death. Were you fearful of death before you became started to mind your stress a little more? Because
no, never. Death is not the thing that I'm so scared of. But what I am actively thinking about is my stress levels, because I do get stressed out. Not because I have the most stressful job in the world, that's my nature. So I want to lower my stress levels so other things are not happening, and my mind is like starts racing about like when stress starts to affect my body or health, like. In different ways, then I start thinking, like, what's wrong with me? What's happening? Is this an element of death creeping up? But, like, not so much death that I'm scared of, but just
things pile up.
I also think that, you know, this all happens, this all coincides with you getting your first big, you know, your kind of your first big break on this TV show and everything. And is it a coincidence that this thing happens at the same time? It probably is. But it does, I think, make a person think, like, this great thing, am I costing myself the enjoyment of this thing by allowing stress to creep into my life? And so whether or not it's the case or it isn't, it seems like it's something that you can control, and then you go into these things with more of sort of a free, open in embracing of the good in it, as opposed to fearing that something bad is always around the corner.
Absolutely. And whether it's yoga or meditation or whatever, like if your thing is hanging out with friends, if your thing is just going to the movies, it's playing basketball, it's lifting weights, like whatever it is that can kind of take you out of the mindset of like, what do I have to do today? What's going on today? What's wrong? What did this person think about me? Anything that can kind of take your mind off it. Fishing, you know, whatever. Just like drinking. Not drinking. That's why I'm not going to. But whatever it is, like, they're going to lower your stress levels. Like, that's like, I'm now like tuned into.
That's like your thing.
That's great.
Yeah. Should we play a game?
Yeah, let's play a game.
Our
buddy Dave. Dave, you told us some great stories, and we're going to reward you with a game that might annoy you. If you're anything like Will Hines, my games will annoy you. So let's play this game. It's a game that I like to call To Lie or To Die.
Okay.
I'm going to list three different sort of layman terms for illnesses, like an example would be like Stoneman syndrome, that kind of thing. I'm going to list three of them. The two of you are going to first guess, are two of them a lie or are two of them the truth? This is already confusing. I'm already upsetting people. I apologize, Will Hines. Stop. Turn off the lights.
So, yeah. I feel like my stress is increasing at the thought of like getting these right.
So you're first going to guess, are two of them real or are two of them make believe?
Okay.
And then you're going to guess which ones are real and make believe.
Okay, got it.
Okay. Can we confer with each other, or are we competing against each other?
I think that's up to you guys. Okay. Would you rather it be a collaborative or a competitive game?
I would way rather be collaborative.
I would too.
Let's do it.
I would
too.
Great.
Yeah,
exactly.
Great.
We just had a nice conversation about stress.
Yeah. Now let's work together.
Yeah. Okay. Alexis, 5 seconds on the clock.
Oh my God.
It's already over.
Okay. Your first three choices are perpetual gut rot, perpetual shut eye, perpetual jaundice. Would you say two of those are real or are two of those fake?
The perpetual thing throws me off.
I know. I feel like perpetual, I don't know why, but I feel like perpetual gut rot is a thing.
I feel like it's a thing. I feel like, now I'm just like, are people just going like, oh, gut rot, man, too much booze. But now I'm like, no, I feel like that's a thing I've heard of, and jaundice is a thing we've heard of.
Yeah.
Should I?
Your eyes get stuck shut?
Perpetual shut eye.
Is that just death?
No.
Okay.
Well, assuming
you,
it's...
we got a hit. Oh, you said no, like it's real.
That's what my mom and dad say next time I call, like, well... John so-and-so, perpetual shut-eye this week.
Madeline, when I scrub the game, please don't point it out to me. I love you, but come on. I'm bad at things.
What do you think?
I think two of those are real.
Yep.
And do you think it's gut rot and jaundice?
I think so.
Yeah. Okay, let's do that.
Okay.
Yeah.
We think gut rot and jaundice are real. We think perpetual shut-eye is a lie.
I couldn't be more happy because only one of them is true, and it's perpetual shut-eye.
No.
What? No, we're...
Perpetual shut-eye, a little fun fact. And by fun, I mean not at all fun.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
It's an extremely rare condition of unknown origins that results in the afflicted being unable to open their eyes for up to 3 whole days.
No. That's like real life Sleeping Beauty.
Yeah. And there's a I'll throw a picture on the on the social media of a poor woman who's suffering from this.
Are you sure she's not just tricking everybody into being able to sleep all the time?
I can't. Exactly. I can't.
Yeah, she comes on the podcast. Look, what you need is somewhere in the neighborhood of 48 to 72 hours of uninterrupted sleep, or you're just going to be stressed out.
Can she like? She opens them, but then they just fall shut.
I don't believe she can even open them. I think sort of like this. And she says that she can see out of the tiniest little slit, but it results in.
Are we all trying it right now?
Yeah.
What do you say? I wish you should.
Did all of a sudden immediately go squint our eyes?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I was gonna take a picture, but I feel like it'll look bad.
It's this can last for up to 3 days, and then once they open, they're open again. But
you never know when it'll happen again.
She said she can feel some sort of like maybe it was a spasm in the, like behind her eyes, and she knows that it's coming on. But yeah, then just 3 days gone.
I can't believe that.
Yeah. Okay. Question number two.
Okay.
At least it's just that. At least it's just I just can't open my eyes for a little bit.
Yeah.
It's not like they're closed and they're burning.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. That's just very true. Okay. Which of these three are true? Bleeding heart syndrome, walking corpse syndrome, or foreign accent syndrome?
Oh,
my gosh.
I know the answer of this.
You do?
One.
Please tell me right
away.
Well,
I know one of them. I've heard of one. I think foreign accent syndrome is a real thing. It's where you can't help but. Oh, no, it's when... Oh, I saw a really insane video about this. This woman woke
First off,
up,
before you say what it was, what were you just going to say it was?
What were you going to say?
I was going to say it's when someone can't help but speak in an accent that they're hearing. Like my mom, like at any restaurant, it's like terribly embarrassing. Or I mean,
Like the last 20 years of Madonna.
Yeah. Where like you just kind of like, but that's not, I was some people call that a disease, but it's not, it's when you wake up and have an accent that there's no reason for you to have.
Cool.
It's like a neurological disorder, I think. There's like a crazy video. We should put it up on our, we should tweet it because it's like, it's insane.
That's wild.
It's wild.
Yeah, I mean, we absolutely will if it turns out that this is a true disorder and not something that I have made up for the good of the game. You
the
keep
chest,
trying to trick me, and it's working.
Okay,
yeah, we absolutely should put up that.
So that one's true, and then the other two is
bleeding heart syndrome
and
walking corpse syndrome
and bleeding heart.
I don't. Walking corpse better not be a thing. Secretly, I kind of hope it is, but I really don't want it to be a thing. Bleeding heart syndrome seems.
Yeah, I'll put my money on bleeding heart syndrome.
Being real?
Or do you think it seems fake?
Do you think? What were you thinking?
I don't know.
These are all guesses.
I know. Just bleeding heart. What?
On one hand, I'm like, oh, it's like you just care for someone a lot. But then it's like, no, it's like your heart.
Your heart is,
But I just feel like I don't know if that's bleeding heart syndrome. I feel like syndrome might be.
That would be like more of an emergency.
Yeah. And is a syndrome more of a mind thing? I don't know why I say that.
I feel like walking corpse syndrome might be a thing. Like, I feel like it's like, could be like a scary, like kind of sleepwalky kind of
disorder. Let's say, I say accent and corpse are real and bleeding is fake.
Right. I'm on board.
I couldn't be more happy because you guys got it 100% right.
Yeah,
those two are in fact correct. And a few unfun facts about them. A bleeding heart syndrome is absolutely not true, unless you ask Trump supporters who think that that's what's afflicting the liberals in this country.
Great zinger.
I got to make stuff up. I'm on the spot here. Bad host. Officially known as Cotard's syndrome, this mental disorder – oh, sorry, this is walking corpse syndrome. This mental disorder involves an individual who believes that they are either already dead or have lost all of their vital organs. And this can also result in people believing themselves to be immortal, which lead to unintentional suicides.
What?
Foreign accent syndrome, which is in fact real, and we will be plugging on our social medias. I guess plug isn't really the right word.
I'm gonna give a real plug to foreign accent syndrome.
Yeah.
Try it. Give it a try. You want everybody in your life to think you're pretending to speak in an accent and you can't stop?
That's right.
Try foreign accent syndrome.
Get it while you can, mate. Okay, foreign accent syndrome. One of the most recent cases was that of Sarah Coldwell in the UK. After suffering from an extreme migraine, she woke up in the hospital hours later speaking with what sounded like a Chinese accent, although she had never once in her life been to China.
That's the video I saw, and I was like, is this lady just super racist?
Yeah, exactly. Right. That just sounds really racist. Like, who couldn't come up? I've never been to China either.
You've got to watch this video. This lady's out of... It feels so offensive, and she's like, so sad.
Yeah, we'll throw it up there for you guys. Yeah.
Is she cured from it?
No,
it's still happening.
Yeah.
All the things she has now?
Yeah, a lot of them.
I think she made a bad joke at a party and then couldn't back down. I really think she was like, oh, no.
Yeah. She played jokes. She went pee-pee in someone's Coke, and she's stuck this way for the rest of her existence. Okay, number three, werewolf syndrome, hobgoblin syndrome, and Frankenstein syndrome.
I want all three of them to be very true.
I know. I do, too. Can we say all three?
All three are true.
Okay, you can say that. We'll move us quickly.
All three are.
I know. I feel like Frankenstein and werewolf, because I feel like a lot of times diseases are named after, like, I feel like those are like folklore names, you know, and I feel like people name diseases after things like that. And a hobgoblin, I think, is just sort of a...
You're right. That seems like
a more recent ghoul.
Yeah. Oh, you're right. And then it seems like an insulting one. Like, when they come up with them, I feel like the scientists coming up with them don't want to be credited with coming up with hobgoblins.
Right. Like Frankenstein, it's like, oh, that you read a book.
Yeah.
You know, that's literary. A werewolf is like been around for centuries, but a hobgoblin is just, I feel like that's from like a 1980s horror movie. It's like saying you have like Chucky disorder.
Option number four.
So this is our Chucky disorder. Yeah. This is our scientific answer.
From the scientific minds.
Yep.
So let's. What do you got? One or two?
Werewolf and Frankenstein are real. Okay. Hobgoblin is false.
Werewolf syndrome. Correct.
Yes.
Frankenstein syndrome. A horror movie from 2011. Sorry, guys. So you got 50%.
I just watched that movie recently.
Yeah. Really? Yeah. So my hope was that it would be a red herring? Is that when?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Werewolf syndrome, not a lot of fun about it. There's only about 50 people in the world that are afflicted with this rare disorder that results in hair growing over your entire body, and you cannot get rid of it fast enough in order for it to not grow back.
That's how fast it grows?
Yeah. Like, it's not like as soon as you shaved one side, it would have, like, when you got to the other side, it would have grown back on this one. But yeah, there's like no amount of electrolysis or waxing that can prevent you from just being a hairy ass man.
Maybe those are not people. Maybe they're very intelligent monkeys that are trying to trick people into thinking they're people by just saying they have a syndrome. I think all these illnesses are tricks.
They might be. They might be. Another trick pulled by a very intelligent monkey.
I've seen Planet of the Apes.
Yes.
Man, that's real.
It's coming true.
Yeah.
What's his name? Like fake being... a dumb monkey and then got a hold of those guns. And
Right? Yes, this is what's happening. Yeah. But instead of staging an immediate coup, they did something much smarter, which is just say they're humans with a disease. And now they're like, they have time to plot against us now.
Yeah.
I mean, they say possums can trick trick you. If possums can do it, and they're like the dumbest things I can think of, why not a monkey?
Yeah.
Okay. Which of these three is real? Exploding hand syndrome, alien hand syndrome, or exploding head syndrome? Two or three, or two or one of those are real. How many and which ones? I can repeat them back.
Do you have a gut answer?
Exploding hand, alien hand, or exploding head?
Alien hand maybe is something where you don't have control over your own hand anymore.
Yeah.
It's like a foreign object to you now.
Yeah, I would guess alien hand is real.
I would say alien hand is real, and I hope exploding hand and head are not real.
Yeah, yeah. True. My wish for this would be only alien hand is real.
What do you think? Do you think one of the other ones is real?
I think only alien hand is real. I think calling something an explosion feels like too alarming even for the medical field.
It seems like a lot. It seems like a lot. Yeah, we'll say alien hand.
Alien hand.
Alien hand is in fact a real thing. It's caused by the separation of lobes in the brain. People suffering from this disorder essentially lose control of their hand. You were exactly right, Dave. And it seemingly takes on a mind of its own. While there is no known cure, giving the hand something to grasp, this is what scares me the most, giving the hand something to grasp, the idle hands are the devil's plaything kind of thing, like in that movie Idle Hands, which I loved as a child.
Give the hand a weapon to grasp onto.
Right, yes, exactly. However, exploding head syndrome is also real.
No!
Exploding head syndrome, often attributed to stress. Guys, oh my gosh, we brought in a theme.
No. Oh, no.
Often attributed to stress, people will be startled out of their sleep in the middle of the night as a result of hearing a loud banging sound. As of yet, doctors have been unable to isolate any negative effects of this phenomenon other than people developing an extreme aversion to falling asleep. So your head doesn't actually explode, but it sounds like there's an explosion in your head.
That's and you wake horrible. Up. That's like...
Yeah.
Yeah, that feels like a form – that feels torturous. Like that's like real-life Freddy Krueger.
Yeah.
The being afraid to be asleep.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's terrifying.
We didn't get to any of these, so I'm just going to rattle them off real quick. Werewolf syndrome – we did that one. Yeah. Tree man syndrome is a real thing. That is it's an extension of HPV, warts that resemble tree bark or roots that form all over your body. And similar to the werewolf man thing, they cannot be removed fast enough for them to not grow back in their entirety all over.
It's a good thing that's not what you have.
That's right. Thank God. Very true.
Thank God for shingles.
Yeah, thank God for shingles.
Alice in Wonderland syndrome is a real thing in which the afflicted looks like there is a malfunctioning in the occipital lobe, and it results in people seeing things as either much larger or much smaller than they actually appear. And that was going to be paired with Peter Pan syndrome, which is just a real thing that everyone in Hollywood has. That's our game. That's been
Dave,
two lies
you
two
so
dies.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me, gang. This was great.
This was so fun.
Yeah, thank you so much.
I got so many good tips.
Yeah.
Yeah, guys.
Yeah.
This has been Definitely Dying. Thank you guys so much for listening.
You can follow us on Twitter at Definitely Dying. And until next time, stay healthy.
This has been a UCB Comedy production. Check out our other shows on the UCB Comedy Podcast Network.